But I want to tell you a little story first that illustrates it in a way. The story of the fisherman and the tourist. You may have heard it before. Basically, this man's been out fishing and he's had a good morning's fishing, and so he's come back with his fish. He sorted it all out and he's relaxing by his boat at the seashore. When along comes a tourist and says to him, what are you doing? And he says, well, I'm just here now, I've done my fishing. He says, well, it's still early morning yet, you could go out fishing and do some more fishing. He says, well, why should I do that? He says, well, you can get more fish and then you can sell more. He says, and why should I do that? He says, well, you can make a lot of money doing it that way. And then he said, and what will I do when I've got all this money? He says, oh, well, you could hire some more men to do some more work for you and build the business up into a really big fishing business. And then what? He said. He says, well, when you've got a really big fishing business, then you can relax and enjoy it. And he says, well, what am I doing now? Yeah, you got the idea. You see, pursuit of all this stuff just for the sake of collecting it all is not a great idea. And that's what Jesus is getting at. We'll see as we go along. Yeah. First of all, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. And Jesus is drawing the contrast between storing up treasures on earth, and the point being is it's temporary, it's not going to last. That's the issue, but store up treasures in heaven, they're going to last. So that's the contrast that he's going to be drawing. Some things are worth storing because they'll keep, and some things aren't worth storing because they won't last at all. So that's the contrast he's making. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. He's talking about the sort of things that can come and pinch all the stuff that you've got. The things that happen on earth, that moths, if he's got clothing, you know, all the clothing. It's not quite so true today, is it? Synthetic garments are moth-proof in that sense, but he's talking about wool and natural fibres, and the moths will have a go at them if they can get at it. And then there's the rust. It says rust, but I don't know if you noticed in that reading, it said vermin. The actual word that's used is eating away, and that can be other things than rust, of course. But if you buried your wealth in the ground, then the chances are it's going to get rusty. So that's the stuff that can destroy it. Or finally he mentions about the thieves coming in, and of course he talks about thieves breaking through. Actually it says break through in the original, I believe, and of course the walls were easy to get through in those days, made out of some form of clay or something. Anyway, he's saying all these things that make your earthly treasures extremely vulnerable. So that's what we've got to get rid of. Yes. Don't store your treasures on earth, those type of things. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Jesus makes a really interesting point. Our hearts are really detectors for treasure, aren't they? They're sort of treasures magnetic to our hearts, I've put that phrase there. We value things, and that becomes our treasure, of course. And so where is our treasure? That's what it's about, yeah. So what kind of treasures can be stored in heaven? Well, it's certainly not the stuff that moths and rust and thieves can get at then. He's going to be talking about something that's really important, about our attitudes and the things that we do, the kind acts, the generous thoughts that will be coming to us. So he's not talking about physical things being stored in heaven, obviously. It's about the way we behave, the kind deeds and so on. And he uses this interesting phrase, the eye is the lamp of the body, it lets the light in. And if your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. What Jesus is using, he's using a very familiar Jewish phrase. A good eye was the term for someone who's a generous person. That the person with a good eye is someone who is outward looking, kind, generous. Those are the things that Jesus is wanting us to be involved with. It lets the light into your body. And then he uses the contrast of that in this one. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? If your eyes are bad or evil, that's the idea. He says, an evil eye was the phrase used among the Jews to denote an envious, covetous man or disposition. Yes, evil eye. If you've got an evil eye, you know, it's me, mine and mine all the time. and a life dedicated to miserly self-interest is in a bad way. I've got a picture of the chap there. He looks rather reluctant to hand over the cash in the picture, I think, there. Well, there you are. An evil eye. He wants to keep all he's got for himself. That's the thing. And that's what Jesus doesn't want us to be like. If your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. When you've got that attitude, it affects and corrupts everything and makes everything a miserable situation. That's why they call misers miserable, I guess. No one can serve two masters. He'll either hate the one and love the other, or he'll be devoted to one and despise the other. Jesus is contrasting them. You'll either hate and despise, or you love and be devoted. And that's the thing. He says you can't serve two masters. There's a contrast. And of course, he says you're to be devoted to one and despise the other. That's interesting, isn't it? And that we're to love one and hate the other. Those are the two masters. And the master he's wanting us to hate and despise is this selfish, worldly attitude. It's not to be what we'd like. We're to be the ones that are outwardly generous and kind in our thoughts. And he uses a very interesting illustration. You cannot serve both God and money. The word he uses is mammon, but it's about materialism, really. That's what it's at. The word in the translation says money. You cannot, he says, it's not possible. You can't have two bosses running your life. And you've got to make a choice. Which one are you going to choose? Is it either materialism, the money, the gold side of it, or is it going to be to let God run your life? You're going to have a master, whoever you've got. As human beings, we seem to work out, we think we're free, but we've got masters somewhere in the line. It's either materialism and selfish interest, or we let God be the ruler and begin to discover what real living is all about. And Jesus used various parables about the contrasts between serving God and money and that selfish interest. You remember the parable of the rich fool. It's in Luke 12:22. The rich fool who had a bumper harvest. It was a great year, everything was doing fantastic, and so he says, oh, you're doing really well now, it's time to relax, he says, build bigger barns, instead of doing any more, make some big barns, store all the stuff in. And the Lord said to him, you foolish man, he said, you're going to die tonight, and where will all your good stuff go then? You see, he was storing treasures on earth, that's the point. And the other account of the rich young ruler, that this is a story, not a parable. The rich young ruler, a very, very influential and important young man in many ways. He had everything, didn't he? Riches, youth, and position and power. And yet he knew there was something missing. And he comes to Jesus and says, what do I need to do in order to get eternal life? And Jesus challenges him about keeping the commandments. And he says, well, I've kept them all. Well, he hadn't, of course, but he thought he had. He said, Jesus said to him, there's only one thing you lack now, and that is, go home and give away all your money, and give it to the poor and so on, and then come and follow me. And he says, the man's face fell, because he was very rich. What Jesus was doing, Jesus isn't against people having riches, you can be aware of it. Remember Zacchaeus? Zacchaeus said, I'm going to give away half my wealth. And Jesus didn't say, give it all away, but he did say it to this man, and he said it to this man because the man had made his riches his God. And Jesus is tackling him on that, you know, love the Lord first. You can't serve both. And the young man walked away sad, and Jesus, it says, loved him. And yet, you know, he left him to go, which is very sad really, wasn't it? Therefore I tell you, this is Jesus saying, do not worry about your life, what you'll eat or drink. Don't worry about what you're going to eat or drink. Now, he doesn't mean to say the kind of things you're going to eat or drink. It's not the choices that you're making. It's whether you'll be able to eat or drink the stuff that's available. That's really what he's getting at. Don't worry about your life, what you'll eat or drink. And he says, or about your body, what you will wear. Again, he's saying, you know, if you've got basic materials, they're okay. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Would you say that? Well, Jesus says that, and he wants us to answer yes. The answer to the question is, yes, life is more important than food, and the body more important than clothes. Though to see some of the programs that are on the telly, it's all about food and fashion, you'd think that was all that life was about. But basically he's saying is, you know, you're more than an animal. It's not an animal existence about eating and drinking and getting some clothes and stuff. There's more to life than that. And the Lord Jesus says he wants us to enjoy the life that he's come to bring. And it's not about material things, really, at the end of the day. And he gives us some illustrations from nature, a lesson from nature. Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. I hope you've got bird feeders in your garden. You can feed them. You can be part of the heavenly Father's plan for the birds, of course. But he's really saying is that they don't get all worried about trying to get stuff organized in that sense. But I must say, there's a lesson we must learn from that. Yes, we need to trust the Lord to provide. But that's not an excuse for laziness. The birds have to go out and find the food. It doesn't just fall into their mouths, you know. There's work to do, even though the Lord provides. We trust the Lord, but there is work. It's not an excuse for laziness. That's what I'm getting at there. And then he says this amazing question. Are you not much more valuable than they are? Well, the animals and the creatures are lovely, aren't they? I mean, we thank God for them. But he says human beings are more valuable than all the animals. And that's a really important point Jesus is making. And it's one that shows that Jesus isn't an evolutionist. You see, the evolutionists teach that humans and animals are all the same. It's just we're different forms, but we're basically animals. That's all we are. Well, Jesus is saying is you're far more valuable than animals. There's something about humans that's different to the animals. And the difference is we've been made in the image of God. We can have a relationship with God that the creatures don't have like we do. Yeah. So you're more valuable. You are a valuable person. Because that's what Jesus says we are. And then, who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? I'd like to suggest, there's the heartbeat and the timer going. If you start worrying, I suspect you'll be knocking hours off your life rather than adding to it. Jesus knows how long you've got and how you can shorten it. And you can shorten your life, I'm quite sure, by worrying about things all the time. So Jesus is saying it won't do any good to start worrying about all these things. And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labour or spin. Isn't that a lovely picture? And you know, if you've got eyes to see in the springtime and in the summer, as well as the winter times of course, but all around us there's evidence of the wonderful creation that God's made, you know. The beautiful greens, the beautiful colours of the flowers. He says, look at all those. They don't labour or spin, you know. But he says this, I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendour was dressed like one of these. And Solomon, he uses Solomon as the illustration because Solomon was vastly wealthy. Solomon was the richest man in the world in his day. He had an enormous income, really. And he had style and class as well. He said Solomon, with all of that, wasn't dressed like one of these beautiful flowers. The fields have these flowers in them. And he uses the lilies of the field. I've got an order of what we call a lily at the top. But the one at the bottom is probably, they think, probably the flower that Jesus is referring to. They grow quite abundantly in Israel. An anemone coronaria is called. One of the anemone family. And he says, you know, look at that. He says, Solomon can't even match that in all his splendour. And that's what the fields are clothed with these beautiful flowers that God's made. And he says, if that's how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you? The idea of being thrown into the fire is that there wasn't an awful lot of wood to collect. So the grass was collected to use in the fires, in the ovens. That's one of these ovens that are there in the picture. He's saying is that it's only temporary. The flowers and the fields are temporary. That's what God does for them. How much more will he do for you? And God's good, isn't he? God's able to provide for us. If he can do that for the fields and for the birds, well, can't he look after us as well? That's what he's really saying. You know, you need to trust the Lord. Just one thing about the grass. An amazing thing is grass, you know, because grass grows not from the tip but from the base. and so you can cut off the tops and it keeps growing, as you'll see in your lawns after these few days of rain and so on. But God's made the grass grow in such a way that if you cut the tops off, it still keeps growing. That's in order to feed all the animals. That's amazing, isn't it? Just one of these important things in how God has made the creation. Anyway, that's the grass of the field. And he puts these beautiful flowers amongst them to help us realize how good he is. Will he not much more clothe you, or you of little faith? There you are, you've got a suit, or a suit for the ladies. God will provide for you in some way. He knows how. And he says, oh, you of little faith. Little faith. That's where the problem lies. We're not trusting God. And therefore, we tend to find ourselves eaten up by the moths and the rust and the fleas, eaten up with the stuff of managing to live. Well, God knows. There's a verse in Paul's letters. Contentment with godliness is great gain, great riches. Contentment, you know, it's not about all the stuff you have. It's about enjoying the things that God's given us and trusting him for what we need. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry. So we've got to listen to Jesus' instruction. I heard a preacher the other day, some of you will have heard of him, T.D. Jakes. And he spent 5 minutes getting people to say, do not worry. Do not worry, do not worry, until we kind of get it in our heads. Jesus says, therefore I tell you. Jesus is telling us this. Do not worry. Do not worry. Jesus said it. So how do we stop it happening? Well, he mentions it in the next verse, or next few verses. He tells us how not to worry. Why should we not be worrying all the time? So, do not worry. You like this, ladies, would you? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things. Do you enjoy a bit of shopping therapy? Well, Jesus says the pagans run after all these things. That's all they're occupied with. That's all they're up to, is trying to get stuff. Stuff. It's sad, isn't it, really? And we can get it. We can get like that as well, of course. Jesus says, don't do this. Don't run after all these things, saying what shall... That's to worry about. What are we going to have to eat? How are we going to manage? That's really what it's about. What shall we wear? For your heavenly Father knows that you need them. There we are. The basic necessities for life. Food, drinks, and clothing. A roof over your head. Those are the basic necessities. He says, your heavenly Father knows that you need them. What's a father meant to do? Jesus introduces the term for God there as Father. What's a father meant to do? It's to provide for his family. It's to provide and care and protect. Well, if that's what the earthly fathers are meant to do, surely our heavenly Father is able to do that for us. He knows what you need. God isn't unaware of your circumstances, your situation, your needs. Your Father knows what you need. Our problem is we think we need more than we do. But Father knows what's best, as always. So he says, here it is, your priority, number one, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Seek his kingdom. That's really saying is, get involved in the things of God. Try by the grace of God to learn his word, to pray for others, to be a blessing to the people that you meet, expanding the kingdom of God so that others can enjoy God's blessings. And seek his righteousness, being right with him in a right relationship, things being sorted out in our lives, things that God wants to change. Well, get those things in the first place. Let them become the first priority. And then he says, as you do that, all these things will be given to you as well. All these other things, the stuff, will come in the packaging. It's interesting, I remember hearing or reading a message by old Spurgeon. He says, if you want paper and string, you get that when you get the present. Yeah, you get plenty of paper and string when you get the present. Well, basically he's saying is, the kingdom of God is the present. You'll get all the other stuff when you do that first. And so someone put it this way, I think it's really good. You take care of his concerns, and he'll take care of yours. Have you found that in your life, in walking with Jesus? I don't know how long you've been a Christian, but I can offer my personal testimony. God hasn't failed me. God's been good. He's been so gracious, and I'm sure many of you can say that, can't you? You know that God knows how to look after you. It doesn't mean to say life's all been a bed of roses and it's all been easy, but He's faithful. Our God is so good. So seek first His kingdom. Seek to please Him and to be right with Him, and all this other stuff will tag along behind. Therefore, here's four beautiful people. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. There you are. That's one of the things we think about, isn't it? We get hung up on the past. Oh dear, well, the past is forgotten, forgiven, when we brought it to Jesus. So you needn't worry about the past. And the future, you've no idea what's in the future. You just trust the Lord for that. But don't we worry. That's the devil's tactic, brothers and sisters. The devil wants you to think about either the past, all your sins, all your failings, all the things you should have done and didn't do. Worry about the past, or worry about the future. How are we going to cope? What's going to happen? How are we going to manage it all? Yes, he wants you to think about those two things instead of thinking about the present and trusting the Lord in the now. And the now is all we've got. Brothers and sisters, yesterday's gone. Tomorrow is in the Lord's hands. The now, this moment, is what the Lord's given us. So let's get involved in loving and serving Him in this life and in this present that we have. Each day has enough trouble of its own. One day at a time is how we get it, and that's how we're to live it. Because that's the way it is. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Did you know the Lord's promised you troubles today? Each day has enough troubles of its own. Well, yeah, they're not all troubles. That, you know that, don't you? But we trust the Lord one day at a time, living in the present rather than worrying about the future or regretting the past. So I've got a couple of passages here that illustrate that for you. This is the first one. Now, godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we can carry nothing out of it. So there's your illustration, a naked little baby and a coffin. They don't have pockets in the shrouds, apparently, because it's not going to do you any good. We can't carry anything out with us. But, and Paul is illustrating what Jesus has just said, that having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which throw men into destruction and perdition. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. And it is, isn't it, really? People wanting the money, or the power that goes with it, of course, but it's all that same stuff. And it leads people into all sorts of sad and destructive ways. Well, God knows what you need. Trust Him and work as best you can, and the Lord will provide. So my last verse is this. It's a great verse. The blessing of the Lord it makes rich, and He adds no sorrow to it. You know, riches can cause problems, and abundance can cause serious worries for people, you know. But when the Lord blesses what you have, and when the Lord blesses you, it doesn't come with a package of sorrow attached to it, you know. You can enjoy and be thankful for what God's given you. Are you like me, brothers and sisters? I just want to say this, you know. I sit in my conservatory under my vine and see the grapes there and look in the garden, and I'm blessed. And Jean and I were just saying yesterday, we're so blessed. We have food on the table. We've got a roof over our heads. We're really blessed. You know, it's all of grace. We don't deserve it. We've not earned it, as if we're goody-goodies and somehow God has rewarded us. No, but God's been so good, and He's blessed us. And part of that is that it's temporary stuff. We're here, we're blessed with it, but, you know, we're to use it for the Lord. We're stewards of what we have. It's not mine. It's not ours. It's what God's given us as stewards to look after. And we can be so grateful to Him. The blessing of the Lord, it makes rich. Whatever God touches, you've heard about King Midas. It turned out to be a curse. Whatever he asked for the blessing of being able, whatever he touched turned to gold. And he found out that turning everything to gold meant he couldn't eat anything or drink anything. Yes, he found out it was a curse. But I just say this, when the Lord touches something, it turns to gold that's really good in that sense, and he adds no sorrow to it. God's good. He loves you and he wants to bless you and he wants you to enjoy the blessings he's given you. But even if it's in poverty or riches, you know, it's the state of our hearts with the Lord where the real riches lie. You know, there's blessing in being able to say, you know, God's my provider. I don't need to depend on the world. God's my provider. It's a real, real good thing to know that. So the Lord bless you. Let's just pray, and then we'll sing a couple of songs and then share some prayers together. Father God, we thank you for the riches of your blessing. Lord, blessings of kindness, of love, of friends, of people that care for us, the people that you give us opportunities to care for. Lord, for the challenges, and Lord, the circumstances where we see people, Lord, who aren't as grateful as they should be, Lord, just to remind us in a way, Lord, that we can be ungrateful and unthankful. Lord, forgive us our sins. Help us to love you. Help us to be appreciative of the good gifts that you bless us with. Lord, they're not ours, Lord, they're gifts from you. We've not earned anything, Lord. We just say thank you for your amazing grace to us in Jesus. Lord, give us thankful hearts. Help us to seek first your kingdom, your righteousness. Not because we get the other stuff, Lord, that comes in the packaging, but because it's right to seek you, to know you, and to work with you, Lord. So bless us, we pray, Father God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Lord. The birds don't worry. We have an introduction, if you remember. Do-do-dee-doo-dee. Do-do-doo-doo. You can depend on him. Yep, got it. Do-do-dee-doo-dee-doo-dee-doo-doo. You can depend on him. The birds don't worry. The flowers don't fret. The trees don't hurry for the food they get. For God looks after they can depend on him. So don't you worry about the things you need, for clothes to wear or food to eat. But seek his kingdom and the rest will come. You can depend on him. You can depend on him. The hills don't grumble, the stars don't cry, the sun doesn't tumble from the big blue sky. For God has set everything in place. They can depend on him. You can't live longer by worrying more. You can't get taller than you were before. So seek his kingdom and the rest will come. You can depend on him. I like that song. And this one. Because God lives, because our Lord Jesus lives, we can trust him for tomorrow. We needn't worry about it. We can trust him. God sent his son. They call him Jesus. He came to love, heal and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds a future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. How sweet to hold newborn baby and feel because she lives. I can face tomorrow because she lives. All fear is gone because I know. Because he lives.